friends, and welcome to this brand new series, which I have called The Struggle I Have With dot, dot, dot. Every week, we are going to be looking at some of the things that we struggle with. And I promise you this, we all think we're the only ones who have these struggles. We all think we're the only ones who think like this. That's why I've called it The Struggle I Have, because you can relate it to your own life. But I want to tell you that you're not the only one, because we are all the same. There are ways in which we see ourselves, or we've come to believe about ourselves, that are not actually true. They're limiting the way that we outlive our everyday lives. So each week, over the next few weeks, we're going to look at all these struggles and call them out and find some ways in how we can overcome them. And again, because I am the uber creative person, they all begin with the same letter again, and they all begin with I. So this week, we're going to be looking at the struggle I have with indecisiveness. Have you ever wondered why you find it so hard or difficult to make a decision? Or why does deciding something make you nervous? Why is it when you make a decision, you are unsure if you've made the right one or not? When my kids were small, I used to read them Dr. Seuss books. And I remember a poem that he wrote called The Zoad in the Road. And the principle from this poem has stuck with me for years. So I'm going to read it to you, and hopefully you too will remember some things and take some principles home from this poem. So here goes. Did I ever tell you about the young Zoad who came to two signs at a fork in the road? One said to place one, and the other said to place two. So the Zoad had to make up his mind what to do. Zoad scratched his head, his chin, and his pants, and he said to himself, I'll be taking a chance if I go to place one. Now that place may be hot, so how will I know if I like it or not? On the other hand, though, I'll be sort of a fool if I go to place two and find it's too cool. In that case, I might catch a chill and turn blue. So maybe place one is the best and not place two. But then again, what if place one is too high? I might catch a terrible earache and die. So place two might be the best. On the other hand, though, what might happen to me if place two is too low? I might get some strange pain in my toe. So place one might be the best. And he started to go. And then he stopped and said, on the other hand, though, on the other hand, on the other hand, on the other hand, though. And for 36 hours and a half, that poor Zoad made starts and stops at a fork in the road, saying, don't take a chance. No, you may not be right. And then he got an idea that was wonderfully bright. Play safe, cried the Zoad. I'll play safe. I'm no dunce. I'll simply start out to both places at once. And that's how the Zoad, who would not take a chance, got to no place at all with a split in his pants. As strange as this picture may be, it's a picture of many of us. We don't take chances for fear of getting it wrong. We too, like the Zoad, worry how it will look if we pursue option one of our lives. So we consider another option, only to discover that that too is fraught with uncertainties. And people spend months, years of their lives talking about good ideas, talking about the might-bes and the maybes, and never actually getting off the starting block with anything because their indecisiveness paralyzes them. Now, indecisiveness is harmless if it is a temporary pause while we weigh up our options, because there should be times in life where you pause before you make a decision, especially a life-changing decision. You know, when it comes to dating with the intent to marry, or career opportunities that may bring about huge change, or financial decisions that could make you or break you, that indecisiveness works in your favor for a short time because it's an inner warning that you need to seek some extra counsel. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no counsel, people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So seeking counsel is good to help you make a decision. But it's when indecisiveness forms a habit in our lives that becomes controlling, it eventually becomes paralyzing. For every small, indecisive thought erodes something of our confidence. Every time we refuse to choose, we lose the ability to lead our own lives. We become like a boat without a rudder, tossed about on the waves of the ocean, subject to wherever the current takes it. And likewise, our inability to make a decision leaves us vulnerable to allow life to choose for us. And when we leave our life to chance, we miss opportunities. Doors close, chances fade, and precious time slips away from us. I believe fear is one of the main overarching reasons why most of us struggle to make a firm decision. The fear of the what if. What if I get it wrong? What if I choose wrong? What if I'm thinking wrong? What if I say things wrong? The what ifs, they paralyze any progress in your life. Like the Zoad in the road, the inability to make a decision led to no decision at all. And it held the Zoad's life suspended, stuck in one place, imagining what it would be like if he went to place two, place one, wondering what it would be like if he went to place two, imagining and wondering, but never moving from the place where he was. If you ever want to do anything significant with your life, if you want to be intentional in a certain area of your life, maybe it's in your faith. Maybe you want to grow in the area of faith. Maybe you want to develop the area of friendships. Maybe you want to further your marriage or be intentional as a parent. Any area you desire growth, success, or fulfillment will require change. And change requires clarity and courage. It's okay to be unsure, but it's dangerous to stay unsure. You see, progress doesn't come from a perfect decision. It just comes from a decisive action and the willingness to take the chance and move forward. You know, throughout scripture, we see that God responds to movement, not necessarily perfect action, but the willingness to move from the place of uncertainty is called taking steps of faith. Because we're acting, we're doing something, even though we can't see the full picture. One of the best examples of this, of course, is in the story of Abraham. It's at the point when Abraham and Lot, his nephew, they decide it's time for them to part company. And Abraham says to Lot, you choose which way you want to go. You decide. You can choose to go to the left or choose to go to the right, and I will go the opposite way. Abraham said this with full confidence because Abraham understood that God was not in a certain direction, but God was with him. Therefore, God was in the decision. And because God was in the decision of Abraham, he blessed the direction of Abraham. Abraham couldn't make a wrong decision because he was living life in relationship with God. And when we live our lives, when we are in relationship with God, and I mean here true relationship, I don't just mean we attend church, we tick the box, I'm a Christian. I'm talking about you have a daily relationship with God. It takes the pressure out of your decision making too. Because when your life is submitted to God, He's already at work in you. Therefore, a decision that comes from you was not a wild guess by you, but it was orchestrated by Him. And this is how I know. Proverbs 16:9 says that we can make our plans, but the Lord orders our steps. In other words, when we're making a decision, when we're living out a God-honoring life, God is already in the decision that we're making We don't have to pray, God, which way should I go? Should I do this? Should I do that? You have to just go with that unction inside of you. I think I'll do this. Why? Because you make your plans, but it's the leading of the Lord that orders your direction. Some of you may have heard me tell this story before, but several years ago, we were in Mexico as a family on holiday. And we went to a restaurant for a meal, and we were not in a holiday complex, so to speak. And so the road we were on was quite a busy road. It was full of local Mexican people. And the place where we stood, there was a restaurant to the left and a nice restaurant to the right. And Luke said to me, "Where do you want to go to eat, Emma?" There was about 10 of us. He said, "Where do you want to go to eat? You decide." And I just said, well, let's go to the right. Let's go into this restaurant called La Madonna. And so as a family, we went into La Madonna. We had a full meal. We had a brilliant evening. We came out of that restaurant to go back into the villa where we were staying. And to our surprise, the road was closed. There was red tape everywhere. There was police cars everywhere. We really didn't know what was happening. And when we got back into our villa and put on the TV, there was the very street where we had just eaten. And what had happened was we had chose to go to the restaurant to the right, but the restaurant to the left, it just so happened that in that other restaurant, the Mexican cartel had gone in with guns and open fired in the restaurant. El Chapo's son was dining in that restaurant and they kidnapped him, and it was absolute carnage. Now, that's when I realized that God is in my decision making. That's when I know that I've made my decisions, but my steps are orchestrated by the Lord. Because if I hadn't have been walking with God, we would have just been taking a chance. If you are struggling in making a significant decision with your life today, don't be concerned with praying for an answer or a word or a sign from God. Just be consumed even more with Him. Foster that relationship. Draw near to Him. Worship Him. Express gratitude for where He's brought your life so far. And as you do, you'll gain clarity over uncertainty and the know-how on how to move forward. Indecision is a lie of the enemy. If he can get you to believe that you can't decide what to do, then he paralyzes God's plans to prosper you. You might not know what to do, but let me tell you, God knows exactly what you ought to do. He's already in your future. Therefore, he's already seen your life on the other side of this decision. So when it comes to our decision making, where do I live? Who do I marry? What should I be doing with my time, my finances, my influences? Do I go out with him? Do I go for the job? Do I move to that city? Do I buy the house? Do I listen to that advice? Before we attempt to make a choice logically, we should all take our lead spiritually. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes for them." When you are pursuing a holy, all-seeing, all-knowing God, you can't choose wrong. Even if the path is uncertain to you, God rewards the movement from you and leads you in the direction you ought to go. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Braveheart Talks. And if you've been encouraged, please leave a comment below and share with a friend. And don't forget to tune in next week for the second installment of The Things I Struggle With.